We're going to come to message number 4 in the first morning session. You can turn to it on page 37. And this is under the section, Learning to Live in Union with Christ. And the subject this morning is Learning to Persevere in Prayer. And this is a big topic. I think right now I need to get a big sign that has a big L on it. Because this is something, you know, when the, I don't know if you all know how we get, you know, who shares what. Basically, it's, here's what you're going to share. And when I saw that, it's like, oh, Lord Jesus. It'd be good to have something I've got more experience. But as long as it says learning, right? And we all need to learn to persevere in prayer. And the key here, it doesn't say learning to pray, right? It's learning to persevere in prayer. Perseverance, or persevering, means to continue steadfastly, persistently, and earnestly. I just say, maybe this is a comforting word, maybe this isn't. Prayer is not that easy. So if you struggle with prayer, I think you're just like the rest of us. Prayer is something that's not natural. And as we'll see when we get into the outline, prayer is something that's very much opposed by the enemy. And he's got a big stronghold in us with our mind, with the environment. So it's a struggle. It's not easy. You know, even in the morning time, you go out to pray. I mean, Leland said he starts with prayer. That's very good. But just everything happens. Everything in your environment, everything in your being, it's not that easy. But on the other hand, nothing works without prayer. It's like Brother Ken said, this is not an optional matter. When you're doing anything, you want to do it the right way. Right? If you're going to run a marathon, the easy way, the way I like to prepare for a marathon, is to sit in my chair and dream about the marathon and think about running through that, you know, the finish line in first place and receiving all the accolades. That's the way I like to prepare. And I have never run a marathon, obviously. You know, to prepare for something like that, you've got to train properly. And if you want to win and succeed, you need to do more than train. You need to, you know, give your whole being to that. So if we want to be one with the Lord in His economy, for every aspect, to have the Lord live in us, to have the Lord express through us, to build up the body, to produce the one new man, prayer is not an optional matter. Prayer is the key. So the key to everything we would experience and see in the book of Colossians, it's really a matter of prayer. Let's read Roman numeral 1 together. A life of being one with Christ, of allowing His peace to arbitrate within us, and letting His word dwell in us richly, so that we can live Him out and express Him, is sustained by our persevering prayer. And then let's read Colossians chapter 4. This is a key verse. Let's read that together. Chapter 4, verse 2. Let's all read that together also. Persevere in prayer, watching in it with thanksgiving. This is the charge to persevere in prayer. Point A says, to live Christ, it is necessary to persevere in prayer. Philippians 1:21a says, how many of us can recite that? For to me to live is Christ. Now, if you're already not clear about this, how can you live Christ? Actually, we just talked about it. Pray. Prayer is a denial of the self. You know, the Lord said we should deny ourselves, to follow Him, to deny our soul life. My soul life does not like to pray. And in the kind of Christian realm or in our Christian activities, there are some things that may appeal to us. Reading the Bible, studying the truth. And we may, those are very good things. Don't get the idea I'm saying don't do those things. But it may be our prayer time, and instead we may, well, I'll just read the Word. That's better than doing a lot of things. But what happens to your prayer time? And is this just a way that we can kind of bribe our conscience? You know, I'm not doing what I should be doing, but I'm doing something else that's good, so therefore I'm okay. That's right. When you're supposed to be studying, instead you do the dishes. And you feel okay because you're doing something positive, but you're really not studying, and then your grades reflect it, but you do have clean dishes. So we might really know the Word. There are people in, you know, these universities and elsewhere, they study the Bible all the time. And they know the Bible. I'd say there are people that know the Bible much, much, much better than I do, who are unbelievers. And they study it as literature. They dissect it. I couldn't argue with them because they can come back. They don't touch the Lord in the Word, right? So when we come to the Word even, it's a matter of prayer, right? We need to be in an atmosphere of prayer. Our being needs to be in fellowship with the Lord. You know, there's just not enough time. Let's read point one together. 2, persevere in prayer is to continue persistently, steadfastly, and earnestly in prayer. It is to pray without ceasing, by remaining in an atmosphere of prayer. And then let's read 2 together also. Remain in an atmosphere of prayer by continually exercising our spirit and keeping ourselves intimately connected to the Lord. You know, this matter, some of you aren't that good at memorizing, right? So let's memorize a verse together. What do you think, Joel? Okay, we're going to do 1 Thessalonians 5:17 together, okay? You just repeat after me. Unceasingly pray. That's it. That's the charge. Okay, you remember that one? 1 Thessalonians 5:17? Unceasingly pray. Right? The note says, this is to have uninterrupted fellowship with God in our spirit. And it requires perseverance. So prayer isn't just getting on your knees and asking the Lord for something. The test is coming up. Lord, give me a good grade and I'll make sure I'll go to the meetings after that. I've prayed many prayers like that. But this is really a matter, you know, this atmosphere of prayer. To pray without ceasing, you know, obviously if we're in a kind of a way of praying, you know, to sit down, fold your hands, close your eyes. You cannot do that your whole life. You've got to eat, you've got to work, you've got to study, all these other things. But to have this atmosphere, this uninterrupted fellowship with the Lord, you know, our spirit is joined to the Lord. And we can have that interrupted by a lot of different things. But at least first thing in the morning, we rise up and we shake off the dust from the night. We come back to the Lord, we exercise our spirit. Right? You know, Ephesians 6:17 says, praying at every time in spirit. You know, if our spirit is not activated, it's not real prayer. But sometimes you have to fight through. Right? We begin, you know, it's like calling on the Lord. We say sometimes that's like pumping water. Oh, Lord Jesus. 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 And it starts to bubble over. And then when you contact the Lord, a lot of things happen. You know, our spirit has, you know, the conscience is the leading part of our spirit. So we contact the Lord, we may become conscious of some offenses and some difficulties. We need to deal with those. And then the fellowship with the Lord deepens, right? And we remain in this fellowship. There's a little book called The Secret Life of Prayer. I wish I'd brought it, because then I could give you the... I want to attribute who said what to the right person, and I can never remember who said this. But in that book, there's a little statement I really like. It says, pray until you pray. And then it says, pray until you know the Lord hears you. And pray until you know the Lord has answered your prayer. So, that sounds kind of illogical, but I think in our experience we can understand. Pray until you pray. We can go through the motions, but are we really touching the Lord? This requires some perseverance, right? We need to persevere in every way. We had a little message the other day related to the gospel, to continue to pray for people, pray for things, pray for all these things. We need to do that. What we're talking about here is really just maintaining this atmosphere of prayer, maintaining our fellowship with the Lord. It's just not the time. In the readings, there's some very good portions. I really encourage you to read those. In point three, it says, even in the smallest details, we need to inquire of the Lord. To do this, to persevere in prayer, to do this is to persevere in prayer and thereby live Christ. It's got a note here, or a reference to Joshua 9:14. And there's a story there. When they're taking the good land, there was a tribe called the Gibeonites. And they were, they were very clear that they were in trouble because they knew that Jehovah's with Israel and they were going to get wiped out. Because that was the Lord's command, is displace all these people, drive them out, take the land. Which has great spiritual significance for us. So the Gibeonites knew that, and so they deceived the children of Israel. They dressed themselves in rags, and they took along some moldy bread, and they said, we've come from a long ways away, which wasn't true. And so they made a pact with them, and then they asked Jehovah, and he said, you guys blew it. These guys tricked you. But now, since you've made an agreement with them, you can't break it. And eventually that caused them some problems. So, if they had just asked. But it seems so, what do we need to ask for? Here's these people, clearly they've come from a long ways and they're seeking peace. And yeah, great. All kinds of things happen in your life. We need to ask the Lord, even in the smallest things. And I don't. A lot of things, I can handle this one. I know what to do. I've got the past experience. I know what's going on. And then you make a mistake. And then you check with the Lord, and the Lord says, yeah. I mean, actually, you didn't even need to check. You just knew I made a mistake. So, we need to check with the Lord in all the things. In Philippians chapter 4, I'm going to start with verse 5. It says, let your forbearance be known to all men. The Lord is near. And verse 6, and nothing be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses every man's understanding, will guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. The point says we need to, even the smallest details, inquire of the Lord. We persevere in prayer and thereby live Christ. This section is really, don't have time to get into it, but to have a life of forbearance, be forbearing, this is the highest all-inclusive virtue. The basis for this is our prayer life. It says, in nothing be anxious. Now, how many of you are ever anxious? How many of you were anxious this morning? How many, when we call you up here, was there some anxiety? We're just anxious, but by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, we'll cover that, let your requests be made known to God. If we're going to live this life of forbearance, a life without anxiety, being forbearing towards all men, in ourselves, it is an impossibility. We cannot do it. But if daily moment by moment, we're in fellowship with the Lord. And this is really to live Christ. I mean, how can you be forbearing to someone? Are you forbearing all the time? Are you ever forbearing? Maybe in ourself, it's like, I know what I should do. Right now, I should not say this. Sometimes with my wife, I've learned something will come up, and I just know, don't say what you want to say right now. Because if you do, you will have problems later. I wouldn't say that's the Lord. I'd say that's having been burned a few times. You learn, don't go there anymore. And yet still sometimes I say it. It's like, don't say it, don't say it. It just came out. And I just realize I'm just in myself, right? So we need to remain in this atmosphere of prayer, receiving grace, right? If we stop persevering in prayer, one of the readings you'll have, it says the grace just leaks away. So all the things we enjoy, I mean, all the high visions in this book, if we don't have the base and the container of prayer, we will lose it all. It says, as soon as we stop praying, we stop living Christ. Only in an atmosphere of prayer is it possible to live Christ. That's right. If we're not in prayer, if we're not in fellowship with the Lord, if we're not really letting the Lord live in us, then we're just in ourselves. And like I said earlier, prayer is it's the best way to deny yourself, because we don't like to do it. You know, the message yesterday, setting our mind on the things which are above. Prayer is the unique way to do this. There's a quote Brother Lee said, prayer is the only way to have our mind set on the things in heaven. You know, as we pray, we pray for the Lord's, you know, setting our mind on the things in the heaven, we saw this isn't thinking about golden streets and this thing. It's considering Christ. And it's considering also what the Lord is doing. And joining in prayer with the Lord's intercessory ministry on the earth. Praying for God's economy, for the Lord's move, for the gospel. You know, Brother Nee, and maybe someone can give me the exact quote if I get it wrong, but the gist of it is, why do we work so much and pray so little when so much more is accomplished by our prayer than by our work? But this is the way we are, and I would say even this is very much the deception of Satan. We do need to work and labor. If we don't go out to speak the gospel, if we just remain here and pray, Lord, bring us some. Occasionally the Lord will bring, someone will walk through confused, walk through the door and come in and get saved. That happens. Rarely, right? So we do need to go. But if we go without prayer, we go without our motor. We go without the power. So if you have a gospel time, usually our gospel time is let's pray for 3 minutes and then go. And I'm not saying exactly what you should do, but maybe you should pray for 30 minutes and go for 20 minutes. Now, this will seem counterintuitive. It's like, only 20 minutes? And I'm not saying make this a practice. But consider you pray yourself into the Spirit. You pray for the Lord to bring you some, to lead you to some. Then that 20 minutes becomes effective, right? Or pray for 3 minutes, and while you're going out, you don't stop praying. You continue to pray, fellowship. We used to go out door knocking. And one time we went door to door, and it becomes kind of routine. And we went to one door, and something really bad happened. And we were just shaken. Just, this guy's demon possessed or something. It was scary. So we, right away, we said, let's pray. And we went just around the corner, because we just had to get back into the Spirit. Because otherwise, the rest of our activity time, going out preaching the gospel door to door, would just be over. It would be worthless. So B, it says, let's read this together also. We need to persevere in prayer because prayer involves a battle a fight between God and Satan. I want to read something from your reading here. It says, although the battle raging in the universe is between God and Satan, another party is involved. You know who that is? Us. This third party consists of God's chosen and redeemed people, the ones who will actually decide the outcome of the battle. If we take sides with Satan, God will lose, even though he is almighty. As the infinite, all-powerful creator, God will not lower himself to fight against one of his creatures. Thus, it is necessary for another of God's creatures, man, to fight against Satan. In a very real sense, God needs us. But he needs us for a battle. And the battle takes all kinds of forms. Like we said, you know, when you're going to pray, it is just amazing. The things that you haven't thought about, all of a sudden you'll start thinking about. The movie you saw 12 years ago suddenly will come up. And then that will lead to something else. And you'll think about, who did I go to the movie with? And the popcorn was bad that night. And then there's someone there, and what kind of car was I driving? And, well, I was back in high school then, and thinking about, and you, suddenly you've gone through 3 decades, well, you wouldn't have, I could have, of, you know, remembrances, and then you're angry at someone, and it just, it's gone. Just from that little, the devil is not stupid. He knows. I mean, he knows your weakness. He knows my weakness. So we need to be girded up, right? And we need to realize, you know, it says, what does the verse say? Watching. We need to watch. This is like kind of a military term, right? So our prayer, on the one hand, it's to be with the Lord, to receive his grace, receive his shining, receive his flowing. That's absolutely right. But there's, we got to realize this is a battle. This is a fight. Our being, we've got a fallen being. And our mind is kind of the gateway for the enemy to come in and attack. And we've got the whole environment. The phone will ring. The telemarketers. Someone will come to the door. And a lot of times it's, oh, I need to take this. You know, right now, if my wife were to call me, she knows not to call. And so if she calls, it must be a dire emergency. I had that happen once. It wasn't an emergency. Anyway, or you get the phone, who's this? Wow, I don't know who that. Maybe this is important. I better take that one. Excuse me, Lord. Persevering in prayer is to fight on God's side against Satan. Who wants to be on God's side?
Amen.
To pray is to go against a trend, the current in the fallen universe. There's a big trend. There's a big current. And this is fighting against it. You know, those fish that fight against the current, they've got a purpose in their life. They're not just swimming against the current because it's fun. They're going up there so they can reproduce. They got a goal, right? We want to reproduce God,
amen.
Right? As those who take sides with God, we find that the whole fallen universe is against us, and in particular against our prayer. Resistance to prayer lies not only outside of us, but even within us, right? Matthew 26:41, you know that one. This is when the Lord took the disciples out to pray. He says, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. We have a strong spirit, but our flesh is weak. I think invariably when I go to pray, the first thing that happens is I get really tired, sleepy. I'm sleepy most of the time anyway. But when I settle my being down, it's just, you know what I do? A lot of times, I just take a little rest because I've got more than 3 minutes to pray. So I think, okay, I'm tired. I'll just take care of my body for a moment. I don't always do this. But then it's like, I'm not going to neglect the prayer time. I'll just take care of that. I think Andrew will share a little bit more practical things. So saints, praise the Lord. We need to learn to persevere in prayer. It's good to release our spirit. It's good to enjoy the Lord. But we need to take care of this matter. This is a heavy matter.
Following. Sisters, I read it. Book of Daniel, chapter 6, verse 10. Read a little bit slowly with your spirit. Ready? Go. Because he had always done so previously. Please remember this expression. And brothers, can you read the Matthew 14, verse 22, 23? Go ahead. Expect that our circumstance, the inner feeling, our spiritual condition is always one with us, so we can be ready to pray. Rather, most of the time, almost all the time, our something is always contrary. We like to pray physically tired. We like to pray something happened to my family. We like to pray I feel frustrated. One time, I like to pray. I simply cannot pray. Why? I just got offended by a brother right next to me. So there are many things simply what? Contrary. If we don't understand the nature of the prayer, we will give in to enemies of all kinds of things. So at the end, we realize, oh, I didn't pray. So, since let's remember this experience. The wind was
contrary.
So, how can we overcome the wind, current, always contrary, always against our desire to pray? One secret is Daniel. What is it? We read again at the end. Because
so,
we'd like to give a few practical suggestions, which is very much based on the ministry. It's a proven by the experience. So let's go to the focus directly. Okay, let's read, and I ask you to underline two expressions. Let's read together.
By learning to persevere in prayer, we sustain a life of living Christ and join with God to fight against Satan. To persevere in prayer, we and set aside definite times to contact and observe.
Please underline this. We must make a vow to the Lord concerning our prayer. Because Satan is against our prayer life. This is Satan's satanic will. It's not just Satan is playing around with us. This is Satan determined to go against our prayer life. That means we also need to determine, go against Satan's will. And that's why we must make a vow to the Lord concerning our Lord, shepherd me, strengthen me, even empower me so that I can pray. You know, the earlier, but they mentioned this matter of a watchman. I know some of you have been to military service. In Korea, the same thing. The military service is a national duty. I didn't like it, but I had to go. Otherwise, either I lose my citizenship or I'll be in the place called jail. You know, So, you know, nobody wants to be jailed. I don't have enough faith to sing a song in the jail yet like Paul. So I went there. But in boot camp experience, a few things very outstanding I never forget in my life. One of the things is they ask you to every 2 hours after we supposed to go to bed by 10 o'clock. They wake us up about 5 o'clock to run a few miles. From 10 p.m. until 5 a.m., somebody needs to function as a watchman. So they assign you. They assign you. Like, but worst time it is, I mean, if I just serve like 10 to 12, easy, and then I can go to bed, most of time is I'm you know, Jerome knows military service, sleeping is precious than money. Sleeping means everything. If you don't sleep, nothing works. You don't give up, you are so tired. Sleeping time is, I mean, I was not Christian at that time, so I could say sleeping time is more important than God himself. But usually watchman service, the real difficult service is when getting darker. That's when exact watchman need. So what they did was like a few times I had to wake up 3 o'clock a.m. It sounds very easy. You can get up 3 o'clock a.m. I still remember one night that the guy, that before he did that, he come and then like I was sleeping. It's your time to get up. Believe me, I cannot get up. I just hold on the pillow. Well, I mean, you may love it. It is. You think about in a real world, but nobody wants to function as a watchman. In a second, whole army can be wiped out. Watchman's function, it is more than necessary. It's more than life and death matter. If we see the word persevere in prayer in the whole context of the book of Colossians, if we don't persevere in prayer, whatever you heard throughout all the training, nothing working in you. Someone, actually, we all of us need to see, in order for us to really set our mind on the thing about, in order for us to really enjoy the world of Christ inhabiting us, in order for us to really enjoy the Christ as our portion, we must get into the life of persevering in prayer. But to persevere, the word itself is very somewhat strong word, like a watchman, willing to get up, going against the situation and environment so that we can pray. So we have to make our vow. It's not like, Lord, I want to pray. Not enough. Brothers, sisters, we have to make a vow to the Lord. Lord, even though I'm weak, my flesh is weak, but my spirit is strong. You will strengthen me. You will supply me so that I can pray. I can persevere in prayer. Amen. So this is the first very important. But practically, if you don't set a time, believe me, it won't happen. Life is so busy. I know some, you know, whenever I ask some students, everybody said, very busy. Even one time I asked my daughter, she is 9 years old, she said, Dad, I'm so busy today. So I asked, well, what do you do today? Well, I need to play with this, I need to play with this, I need to play with my friend. You may laugh. Once you get out of the door this way, once you start to think about school, what do you do, kind of thing, all of a sudden you feel like so busy enough, you have nothing else you can do. But if you don't pray, nothing spiritual, nothing divine happen in your life. So we must set a time to pray. So that's why Daniel was under threatening. You know, people tried to kill him. But how could, in that kind of environment, Daniel could pray? Secret is because he had always done so previously. But this is not the only reason. But this morning, burden it is, we'd like to introduce this matter, setting some time to pray. So as a brother Dave mentioned, that without prayer, nothing happened. Without prayer, nothing works, and then prayer is the only way to make all the things really real to us. If you really see this, we must pray. Let's set a time to pray. So, this afternoon in Tuesday and Thursday practice, we'd like to introduce is that when you make even your schedule, you make your schedule, right? Class schedule? You don't? I hope you make a schedule. Okay. Otherwise, you just go to the class, not go to class. That's how you receive F, not freshman.
Yeah.
Yeah, F, for not so good for you. So, schedule, but you need to schedule in the prayer time. Actually, if you really think about your daily living, like Daniel said, he prayed 3 times a day. It's not too hard to put the like after morning revival, you can reserve 10 minutes. Is it too hard? And some students, while you're having lunch, instead of using the lunch the entire hour, you can use a lunch time 15 minutes and reserve 10 minutes to pray. Or you, especially you and your companion, set a time, just pray 15 minutes. Something practical you can carry out. But I guarantee, once you start to pray, once your spirit is released, once you see Lord answering your prayer by saving people, your prayer time will be increased. But we got to have some starting point. What is it? Set a time. Otherwise, I repeat again, nothing will happen. Why? Enemy is contrary. Satan is robbing your time with so many things. You know, I have 2 children. I love my children, son and daughter. But one thing I realized is if I'm not careful, I can never have time to prayer time. Like a practical issue it is, my son get up early. He get up early, usually in the morning about 6:30. So if I don't get up by 5:45 a.m., I really don't have any time to pray. My son come out, first thing, always dad, breakfast. He wants to eat breakfast about 6:45. Okay, I take his breakfast and then, okay, I need to go back to pray. Then my daughter get up late. So he go by 7:30, dad, my breakfast. And then after that, and then I try to go back to pray, I need to go coordination. So this thing is like one after the other in a whole life, every day, in many situations, again and again. So we must reserve some time when you can do, and then you need to consecrate it. So today, another third practical thing is, once you set apart some time to pray, you must consecrate that time to the Lord. That time doesn't belong to you anymore. It belongs to the Lord. It belongs to the prayer. So you cannot replace that time with anything or any matter. Is it clear? This is a very important practice. You know, we enjoy the Lord, we pursue the Lord so much, but many times question is why I don't have enough experience, why people don't get saved. If you really trace back, most likely you find the one common ground there is a lack of our persistence and persevering in prayer. So I mentioned 3 things. What else is number one? We need to make vow to the Lord concerning our prayer life. This is a spiritual speaking, that's how you go again. Your will, choose God's will. Your will, choose, go against Satanic will. Second, set aside some time and schedule it. That's it. I want you to use a permanent marker. That means once you use it, even you like to erase it, too late. Number 3, what is it? You have to consecrate your prayer time into your schedule. That with the realization that doesn't belong to your life anymore. It belongs to the Lord. It belongs to God's purpose. It belongs to God's move. So since that set aside in time, it doesn't belong to you, you cannot do anything about it except the time comes. What do? You pray. Is it clear? Okay, let's quickly read the outline together. I'll start here. Okay, Roman number 2 together. In the light of the fact there is great resistance to praying, we need a practical way to persevere. Brothers, A. Sisters B, strong spirit.
We need to set aside definite times for prayer. Our attitude should be that prayer is our most important business and that nothing should be allowed to interfere with it.
Brothers, one.
We need to take time to absorb the Lord, contacting Him in a definite and prevailing way.
Sisters. Together, see. In order to have more time for prayer, we should try to save time during the day by reducing anything that would weaken our spirit, damage the praying atmosphere, and occupy time. This is very, very practical. I know it's a little bit warning. It is a kind of statistic came out a few years back. I mentioned that earlier. It is. Nowadays, generation, 21st century generation, even some brothers and sisters in the church, this matter of internet has been really robbing our time so that we don't have time to pray, even we don't have time to read the Bible, even we don't have time to pray, we don't have time even to get together with one another. So now the internet, the statistic came out, it is, average high school students, they spend about 37.6 hours per week. Well, you may say that's high school, but I personally don't think college students are too different. Maybe possibly worse than that. Because college students can choose your own time. You can skip the class. No one can force you to go class. You can, you know. So what I'm saying is that Satan, I hope they're very clear, that Satan does whatever he can do to steal your time. This, what is Satan doing? This is a Satan full-time job to steal your time. So what kind of attitude we should have? We have to do whatever we can do, save some time, especially to pray. So praise the Lord. We want all of you to experience all the words we receive in marvelous things by persevering in prayer. Okay, how about we just have time overflow?
We still have about at least 15 minutes.